He was thrown down to the earth, and the angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the what? Kingdom. You should underline that. That's what he's trying to stop. That's the Greek word basileia there in verse 10. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb because of the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. Right there in the middle of the tribulation period, Satan loses access to God's throne. Apparently, although Satan is a fallen angel, he still has access to God's throne. Not to worship and serve, as he once did, but rather to communicate and to accuse. The early book of Job makes that very clear. Satan is conversing with God. In fact, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, or Simon, Simon, Satan has requested permission to sift you as wheat. Obviously, Satan has some sort of privilege to go into heaven, not to serve and worship as he once did, but to communicate and to accuse. And directly in the middle of the tribulation period, once the beast desecrates the temple, Satan loses that privilege. And he plummets to the earth. Heaven is rejoicing because Satan's not there anymore. But the earth is groaning because now Satan is turning up the heat with strategy number two. And essentially what he is trying to do is he is trying to destroy the nation of Israel. And he only has a short time left to do it. He's only got 3.5 years left to do it. He's functioning preemptively. I will take them out before the kingdom comes through them and takes me out. And so what does God do? God, just like God protected the messianic line in the Old Testament, God works sovereignly and so beautifully and protects Israel through the second half of the tribulation period. You see, everybody debates this expression, this generation will not pass away until all these things are. What I think it's saying is the generation is the generation of Jewish people will not pass away. Why would they pass away? Because Satan's trying to eradicate them. So it's a promise from God that God is going to preserve them and keep them and fulfill his covenants through them. And so God performs basically a rescue operation. And so you have persecution and rescue here in two cycles. Cycle 1 is verses 13 and 14. Cycle 2 is verses 15 and 16. Notice verses 13 and 14. Now when the dragon saw that it was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she will be nourished, watch this, for a time, times and a half a time. How long is that? 3.5 years. It's a synonym for 3.5 years. From the presence of the serpent. So you'll notice that the devil is persecuting the woman. Back when you study this word persecute, it's the same word used in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, rejoice when people persecute you. So somehow he's persecuting the woman, and yet God is protecting the woman. How? With eagle's wings. How do we interpret these eagle's wings? Well, let me tell you how not to interpret the eagle wings. And this is what I've heard as an American for most of my life. Our national symbol is the eagle. So America rides to the rescue at just the last moment. And, you know, America has done a lot of good for Israel. We're sort of turning our back on Israel now. But people read America into that. Can I ask you a question? Is that how we interpret symbols in the book of Revelation? Do you recall our rules? Search the immediate context. If that doesn't work, go into the Old Testament. When you go into the Old Testament and you look at Exodus 19:4, you have a dead ringer as to what the eagle's wings represent. God says to Moses right after the Exodus, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." The eagle's wings is used to describe the protective custody and care of God, how He protected Israel from Pharaoh. So in the same way, God is going to protect Israel in the second half of the tribulation period, just like He protected the Messianic line. And this time He's not protecting Israel from Pharaoh. He's protecting Israel from the devil, who's launching an all-out assault on the nation of Israel. And then from there, you go into verses 15 and 16, which is the second cycle of persecution and rescue. Notice, if you will, verse 15. "And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth." Now, in the 70 weeks prophecy, when Titus sacks Rome, it says the end will come like a flood. So I think flood water is sort of symbolic, if you will, of a coming army of some kind, trying to destroy Israel just like Rome succeeded in sacking Rome. "The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth." Now when I read that, I think of Numbers 16 and Korah's rebellion, where a bunch of folks got together and said, "We don't like Moses anymore. We don't want him as our pastor. He doesn't sing the worship songs we like. And we don't have enough kids programs here." And I complain, complain, complain. And God said, "Moses, I'll take care of this one." And the ground opened up, and all of the disgruntled church members disappeared into the ground. I mean, it's sort of a pastoral dream in a way. So, God is pretty good at using the earth to get rid of, rebellion against His purposes. So that's cycle two. And then we wrap up the chapter with verse 17. "So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring. Children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." You see that word rage there? The Greek word is orge. From the word orge, translated rage, you get a lot of sexual images like orgy and things of this nature. So orge is speaking of passion without control over it. And here it's not being used in the sexual sense, it's being used in the emotional sense. This, you have to understand the mind of Satan. This is what goes through his emotional system when he thinks about the nation of Israel. It is an uncontrolled rage. It's sort of the anger that you experience, when you're working in the garage and you're hammering a nail into the board and you miss and you smack your thumb and you're just, for a split second, you're just so angry. You could take that hammer and just throw it right through the window. And it's like you're so angry you can't even get control of yourself. And fortunately the Holy Spirit, can help us with things like that. This is what Satan is feeling when he looks at the nation of Israel. And look at the rest of these descriptors. It's not just wrath, it's persecution. He wants to sweep them away. Kind of like Ahmadinejad, he says they need to be wiped off the map. Enraged. And then this word war is used. The Greek word for war is polemos, where we get the word polemic. Someone who's polemical is basically warlike. It's the opposite of ironic, which means peaceful. So Satan towards the Jews is very polemical.